Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday. I hate Blue Monday.
Got to work. The home of unprotected talk. It is Monday. I'm live. I'm not on vacation. I am not in Florida. I am not in Hawaii. I am not in London. I am not in Paris. I am not in Moscow. Of course not Moscow. Before Obama took over, the Russians loved America. Now they hate America. Oh, look at the popularity poll. He's turned the nation that loved us into a nation that hates us. But according to the fake Gallup poll, an arm of the Democrat Party, why, he's the most popular man on earth. Everything's coming up roses. Potatoes are cheaper. Tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to grab a gal. How is that possible? That Gallup gets away with these lies year after year. I mean, Gallup, what does it mean? Oh, Gallup, very reliable poll. The most popular woman on earth is Hillary Clinton, sure. Absolutely sure. The woman who gave us Benghazi, the woman who's lied her way through every job she's ever held, the most popular woman on earth next to Madonna and Angela Jolie, another prize of humanity. But I don't want to talk about that. We're going to do a new thing on the Savage Nation, which I'm trying out today. The 29th of December, which is Unprotected Talk, the first hour of the show, I think every day of the year, because I'll tell you why I'm doing Unprotected Talk, because you don't know who you're going to get. And there are really no rules other than if you start cursing me, we click you off, that's the end of it. You can disagree with me, you can love me, whatever, but, you know, it's got to be good radio. So that starts the ball rolling, 855-400-7282, every day, first hour, unscreened phone calls. We have a screener today. They actually have given me two workers instead of poor Robert. But I said I enjoyed the Unprotected Talk so much on Friday. It was such a great show. Three straight great hours. You missed it. I'm sorry. I can't help it if you were busy doing something else. I had a wonderful show. We had callers who never get on the radio. People who would never go through a call, get through a call screener, got on the radio. It's not like most shows have I don't want to knock anybody, but I will anyway. Most shows have prepared callers. Regulars, like 5 to 10 of the same stooges. They used to be known as shills in the Ringling Brothers days. I learned what a shill was as a kid when I went to the circus with my father in New York, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. And I don't know how it worked, but it was a half man, half woman, and that was free. But to get behind the thing, you had to pay another quarter. And he would say, all right, who wants to step in right now? I'll go. They'd start calling out from the back. And I said, what do you mean they'll go? How'd they get him so fast? So my father gave me a nudge and said, hey, listen, he said, they're known as shills. I said, what's a shill? He said, a shill is someone that they pay to respond to their request. I said, oh, you mean like in my time, all of the people on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, in other words, the Jake Tappers of the circus era were shills. The wood blitzers were the shills of their time. Make-believe journalists. It's make-believe journalism time. On the Savage Nation, it's always real talk. And today it's unprotected talk for the first hour. And remember, if I pick you and I keep you, you will reach more people than you've ever met in your whole life. Think about that. That's an editorial, okay? Now, before I do that, I want to go back in time since this is the 29th of December in the year 2014. What I love about today and this week is that other talk show hosts are on vacation, but they're listening to me out of anxiety. To see what I'm doing to triangulate them. I'm not going to mention them. They're all on vacation. They think that, oh, no one's listening. Are you kidding me? This is the biggest audience of the year. Let's do the math on this. What do you mean they're not here? They're on vacation, but what, their brains went dead? Let's say a person's away for the week, wherever they may be. They still have a radio in a car. They have a radio somewhere. So they're listening to me on another station. Radio is a theater of the mind. And there is no better storyteller in talk radio to paint a picture in listeners' minds than Michael Savage. He is an original, something our medium is starving for. We get a chance to eat it up, and as far as a fan, I can't wait to hear him during the day. That was Dennis Green, Senior Vice President, Affiliate Sales and Broadcast Operations, Cumulus Network, Media Networks, December 16th, 2013 issue of Radio Inc. You know what I found for you today? I found an article by Ed Ryan that was published last year on the cusp, to use a hippie phrase, on the cusp of the new year in December when I was about to go from the evening to the day part. And they interviewed me, and it's a great article, by the way. And they interview me and other people. And I want to ask you, after I read pieces of this article, Savage Afternoon Attack, if I've lived up to your expectations. Savage on the Future. I knew that at the end of the day, the direction of radio would be corporate conglomeration and fewer local hosts and more national hosts. I figured there would be about 3 to 5 hosts who would survive. I said that in 1994 when I began a radio. I knew which way the wind was blowing. It just made more sense. I'm not knocking local hosts. Some of them are great. There's no sarcasm in that. I was once a local host, but I always wanted to be a national host, and I fought like hell to become one with every possible impediment you can imagine thrown in my way. So let me begin with the article. With a new syndicator taking him across the nation in a new time slot and an election year dead ahead. Remember this? Michael Savage is like a kid in a candy store. After a rough breakup with his old syndicator and with a new direction for the show, Cumulus Media Networks and Savage share high hopes for 2014. Savage says he's less of a right-wing conservative now and more of a storyteller, and he believes that's what the audience wants. He'll be focusing more on entertainment and less on President Obama bashing. Well, how'd that work out? I couldn't stay away from Obama bashing since he begged for it by nullifying our election, by spitting in the face of Congress, by stepping on the Supreme Court, by starting a new Cold War with Russia, by doing a reach out to the worst dictatorship in Cuba's history. Yeah, right. No, don't mention any of that. Just make believe everything's coming up roses. Make no mistake about it, the article says. Savage is still opposed to Obamacare, anything he sees as government overreach, and absolutely anything that smells to him like socialism. He's also against the killing of animals, and even if said animal ends up on his dinner plate, he's just morphed into a believer that today's audience wants to hear more than constant attacks on one political party or the other. That's absolutely true. And you know, an article came out yesterday in Washington Times by Jennifer Harper. It's an interesting short article. I hope it's on my website. I sent it to Art at the WorldNet Daily to post it for me on michaelsavage.com. But everything's slow today. I think my computer's on vacation. My computer must have gone on vacation because it's taking so long to download another website. Can anyone find the article for me connecting? I love this. All right, let's start with the first call while my computer's having a little fit here. Line one, unprotected talk. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your name? What city are you in? Gone. Gone with the wind. If you don't answer, I hang up. It's bad radio. Get ready when I say you're on the radio. You answer immediately or I hang up on you. I don't care who you are. You could be the president of Russia. Line two, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your name?
My name's Peter.
And city?
Schenectady, New York.
What station? Don't know.
Talk 1300.
Beautiful. That's a Quinella there. You did it. So what's on your mind tonight, Peter?
I'm really scared about the direction our country's taken.
Why? According to the Gallup poll, it's the best time in America in human history.
I called my congressman a couple of years ago because I was having problems with the VA. I am a veteran, and I couldn't reach them by phone because they kept telling me that my information that I was giving them was incorrect, and I told them to look at my DD-214.
Right, so I don't mean to cut you short. This is a personal problem. I can't help you. It's you're saying you're afraid because as a veteran you can't get any help from the VA. Is that your main point?
This is not a personal problem. I want to show you what my congressman's reaction was, okay?
All right, so show it to me already. Who's the congressman? What's the dunce's name?
Tonko's office. I talked to his...
All right, so what'd they say to you in plain English? What'd the congressman say?
Well, this is the congressman's office, Cora. I tried to get it fixed. She said she was going to fix it. She called back, said it was fixed. I called the VA. It wasn't fixed. This happened 2 times.
All right, so you actually expect the congressman to react to you as a voter? Are you kidding?
Anyways, I called the third time and told the congressman's office that...
All right, but you didn't get any result. Your point is they didn't help you, correct?
No. My point is she laughed on the phone.
Oh, she laughed on the phone. So she's a Democrat, I assume.
Third time failing.
Well, why don't you call Governor Cuomo? He's a touchy-feely guy.
No, not at all.
He'll help you. He'll take time out from his shenanigans to help you, I'm sure. I can't help you with it, buddy. It's a rotten time in American history. Line three, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, Jane of Clear Lake.
Jane of Clear Lake, you're listening on KSFO in San Francisco?
Yes, and sometimes glad and clear and sometimes not very clear.
I'll send that on to engineering. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? I thought of this the other day. Marijuana does not cure the stupidity of those who think it cures everything.
Not bad. Not a bad shot. That's why it's called. But let me give you a better answer. Why do you think it's called dope? Why do you think marijuana is fashionably called dope? You think it makes people smarter? Now we're going to get the dope callers. I don't want any marijuana calls. That's the end of the show. You know, there's three topics in radio when I first started that will kill your show. Abortion is one. Guns are two. The minute you say guns, it's the end of the show. The lights light up for 3 years, and it's the same 12 people who are reloading in their basement planning a takeover of the government. Abortion, guns. There was one other you couldn't mention. Now, marijuana is another black hole. It's got third rail of radio. The phone number here is irrelevant because I know what's happening. You can't get on the show. So let's move to one last one. Line 8, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Peter, WBAP Dallas.
Bingo! Someone smart from Texas. And what's on your mind, Peter?
Yes, the reason I'm calling, I was going to talk about pot, but we'll pass that up. Nobody has mentioned, to my knowledge, the fact that when Louis Farrakhan recently said, we're going to tear this GD country up, what he said immediately before that was, unless we get a piece of this earth. And 20 years ago, that was being discussed, that he wanted to separate, start their own nation, but he said it's not time for that. But now apparently it is, because he brought that up. He
said, well, that wouldn't be a bad idea if Obama would agree to be their president. That wouldn't be such a bad trade-off, would it?
Well, the problem, the thing is it kind of goes into that, dovetails into this civil war that you're talking about.
Well, I know the book is prophetic. Unfortunately, it was ignored by the mainstream media and everyone in radio because it was too true. The fact of the matter is it was right on target. It sold like crazy. People are still reading it. And it's going to be the architectural plan for making the Republicans do what we elected Republicans to do, which is not go along and get along like the unfortunate drunk party animals that they are. Thanks for the call. That brings us to 18 minutes after the hour. We're doing Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Monday, December 29th, in case you don't know it, almost the end of the year, big deal. It's arbitrary. What do you think? God knows it was January 1st on Thursday? God didn't say it's January 1st. We're living on a calendar that was arbitrary and created. When you think about it, it's a very white calendar. Kind of a racist calendar. I mean, what, B.C., before Christ? Think about how offensive that is to Muslims, Jews, and Hindus. Don't you think our calendar itself should be thrown out at Harvard University for being a racist white man invention? It's a tool of the power structure. And it was created as such to oppress third worlders. I think the whole calendar should be changed to, I don't know, AO after Obama. This would be what? 6AO. It's like a new calendar. You heard of the Gregorian calendar. It'll be the Obama calendar because according to libs, he was not the second coming. He was the first coming. He was the true perfect man. And although everyone threw him out in the voting booth, it didn't matter because that vote didn't count because it was a skewed vote of people who work for a living and pay taxes. All right, you don't want to hear my rambling. It's too bad because that's what I do. It's called Insights through Free Association with News thrown in. Michael Savage takes on new broadcast role. Life, why can't I read this? Why is it so big? Why can't I shrink it down where I can read it? Oh, you got to hit this. This computer's driving me. Here. Michael Savage takes on new broadcast role, life coach and wise father. Oh, that should irritate people in the media, that I'm a wise father. Jennifer Harper, Washington Times, published yesterday, indefatigable radio host Michael Savage is adding some noteworthy reinvention to his format after 2014 finally gives way to 2015. Quote, politics has always been the bread and butter of my show. I'm the one who has been promoting borders, language, and culture for 20 years. But we all know we live in a one-party system. That's basically an oligarchy. To hear about politics every day is boring. I'll continue to talk about the news when we need to talk about it. Next year, though, I'm moving into diverse lifestyle topics as well, says the veteran commentator and author who is heard nationwide by about 7 million listeners. I used to have a segment on the program when I played Dr. Savage, and callers asked me to help with problems in their everyday lives. Next year, we're bringing that back. You can call in to me, and I'll be your life coach. I can help people. That's what I've been put on the earth to do. Many people in our world don't have a wise father, uncle, or older brother to turn to. I can play that role in their lives, he advises. Interesting idea, she writes, but the edge is still there. Mr. Savage adds that he will also have a section titled Unprotected Talk, which will feature unscreened calls for an hour, which is what we're doing right now. See, I'm always reinventing myself. I am like the true Rolling Stone and never gathers moss on his behind. Because the day you start hearing the same old thing, you're not going to listen. And it bores me to hear it. I don't want to do the same thing every day. And to get trapped into the same show every day is just like boring. Why do it? So I want to remain Michael Savage, a kid in a candy store. And I want to continue with my theater of the mind. And I'll be on the air today, tomorrow, Wednesday, God willing, New Year's Eve. Till my time, you know. Thursday, unfortunately, I have a best of for you because no one listens on Thursday, they say. There's some kind of ball game. I don't watch it. I mean, I'm not that interested. I know everybody in the world watches that game and gets drunk on beer. They throw beer cans in garbage cans. I don't know why they... All right, it is. It's a New Year's tradition. It's America. You're supposed to sit with your family and, you know, whatever. I don't know. To me, the radio is the game. So I'll be suffering on Thursday waiting for Friday when I come back. Of course, everyone's still on vacation. All you talk show hosts out there who are on vacation listening to me, it's too bad that you're not on the radio, because I am. Don't you wish you didn't have a fill-in host and you were able to get on the air today? Because I know you're dying to do so. None of you are enjoying yourself. Oh, you love being in the heat in Florida and the humidity right now. Yeah, tell me how great it is to walk around throwing a football with your son. Right, that's if you even have one. Okay, I'll be...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Anyway, you know why I love the doo-wop? Because it idolized women. It put them on a pedestal. You say, well, what good did that do? Well, let's see, marriage was more stable. People seemed to stay together with the woman idealized rather than turn into some skank because of rap music and the women's movement. In other words, the reverse has happened as a result of liberation. Women have been not put on a pedestal, but thrown in the gutter. Look at the lyrics of the music today. So all of the negative stereotypes of women, which are inherent in the minds of primitive men, by the way, have been brought to the forefront as a result of the debased cultural values, which are really a lack of values. Now, just a little thing, a little musicology on the Savage Nation. And I can't blame it on Obama or Hillary Clinton. I wish I could, but I can't. But here's one I can blame on Obama, the big lie. I mean, Goebbels, he was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler. Goebbels said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So Obama's surrounded by liars who think that by repeating the lie over and over again, the morons will believe him. Here's a headline. Obama says U.S. less racially divided than when I took office despite protests. Now, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. The country is more racially divided now than I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I wasn't born yesterday. Do we have that soundbite? We do, probably, because he was on, of course, national public radio. That's as reliable as a Radio Havana. I mean, NPR is our Radio Havana, you know what I'm saying? Really, it's a very reliable outlet. Look at the stooges they have on that show. So he says that, U.S. less racially divided than when I took office despite protests. How could he say a thing like that? Well, why does he go on NPR? Because they won't ask him. They said, what, are you crazy? There's riots. You know, President Obama says the U.S. is less racially divided than when he took office. Blah, 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 blah. Obama says mistrust between police and minorities, here we go again, isn't new. Oh, it isn't new? He says it's being talked about more because, oh, come on. Obama spoke to NPR News before leaving for his winter vacation in Hawaii, like he needed a vacation from his vacations. He says it's understandable that many people feel race relations have worsened, pointing to extensive media coverage of protests in Ferguson and New York. But he says minorities have dealt with discrimination in their lives. No, things have improved. Wow. Oh, so things have improved. You mean under him when the great one arrived? Well, we know that Holder and Obama and de Blasio and Sharpton made race relations much worse. They've inflamed hatred that I've never seen in my life. Never. Things were getting better. They were getting better until he came along, meaning who? It's not Obama. Obama is not Obama. Obama is a construct of those who created him and put him in power. Obama's not the man you see at all. The real Obama was created after he became a politician. I mean, the real Obama was discreated after he became a politician. The real Obama can be seen in his own autobiography, where he says he was apolitical when he was at Occidental College. So it's worked for him. Axelrod is Obama's brain. Axelrod is Obama's brain. Axelrod is the Rasputin of Obama. Write that down. Write it down. Axelrod is Obama's Rasputin. Now, you have to know who Rasputin was. You have to know a little bit of history to understand what I say by that. It's not a popular concept of Rasputin. No one even knows. I would almost say that he's a Svengali, almost. Nah, I don't know if he's a Svengali or Rasputin. Maybe, probably Rasputin. Svengali was a good character. Does anyone know? Raise your hand if you know who Svengali was. S-V-E-N-G-A-L-I. It's part of my esoteric knowledge of everything. The reason I know who Svengali was, my father used to call me Svengali when I was a kid. I didn't even know who he was. I thought he was a puppeteer, Svengali. Little did I know, my father was putting me down. He was afraid of me. That's why he was abusive to me. Did I tell you this story? I'm not going to complain. I'm not complaining. God rest his soul, loved him dearly, but he was a pretty rough customer, my old man. And what happened was this. A friend of mine came over to my house Saturday, who I haven't seen in a long time. We actually went to college together. We live a mile apart, and we don't see each other. He was a liberal. I'm not. You know, he was afraid of my politics, whatever. We never really hated each other, but it's ridiculous to know a guy who knew your mother and father lives a mile away and you don't see him. We got together Saturday, and it was very touching. He said to me, he'll remain anonymous. He said, you know, Michael, we all looked up to you in the crowd going back to college. He said, we knew you were the smartest one of the bunch and this and that. He wasn't just buttering me up. He's a very successful judge, incidentally. But he says to me, he said, we all knew you were the smartest one of the bunch, and we never understood why your father was so mean to you. So I got a little offended because my father's dead and gone. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear that. He wasn't doing it, though, to get over on me. I'm very sensitive. It was like he was saying it not so much to put my old man down, but it could have been interpreted that way. But I didn't like it anyway. So he says, well, he wasn't only mean to you, but to all your friends. And we all used to say, why is Michael's father like that? He shouldn't be that way to him, right? So then I brought up his father problems. And I said, well, didn't you have a problem with not burying your father because you didn't get along with him? So I didn't want to hear any more about my father. So I didn't do it. I just did it to change the subject. He said, no, I actually hated my mother, not my father. He said to me. So he told me about his mother, who was a psycho from, you know, ooh, what a nut she was. Wow. I had a lot of friends with crazy mothers, I got to tell you. I mean, I had a friend whose mother was so nuts. But she was not genetically nuts. She went crazy from Benzedrine. Would you believe it? A middle-class blonde, bleach blonde in Queens, New York, went crazy from Benny's. Now, how? Because she went to a diet doctor in New Jersey who shot her up every week or a couple of times a week to keep her from her appetite suppressed. Did I tell you this story? Jim, you want me to tell the Benny story or not? You never heard this one? No, this is a very interesting story, but even women in those days were drug addicts. You think it's only like today. They were on, like, prescription meds, like they are today, but they were nuttier because they were more severe drugs. A lot of women took Miltown. It was prescribed for women who were nervous, and Miltown is a mild tranquilizer. You get about the same thing out of Valerian than you do out of Miltown, or out of a glass of wine, maybe. But the thing is, a lot of women were on Miltown all the time, which was a very mild tranq. In fact, I'm sorry to tell you, a few of my friends stole their mother's Miltown and took it with rosé wine after school. And they just wonder why the grades went down. But this mother, the Benny mother, was a nut. She'd come home crazy and she'd attack her son. Now, the father was a hardworking man, as all the men were in that generation. And the mothers generally stayed home as homemakers. But she was no homemaker. She was a homebreaker. So She took her rages out on her son, my good friend, I'll call him Barry, that's not his real name. Him I don't like altogether, he's a total lout, I haven't talked to him in 20 years. A no good Nick. In fact, I remember when he was drafted and he went to Fort Dix and went crazy. And I was the only one of the friends who went and visited him in the nut ward, in the psych ward with bars on the wall. I remember taking the bus over to Jersey, and he was there, and he did go. He wasn't faking it. He was nuts, certifiably crazy. And I felt bad for him because I knew him since he was a kid, like in the fifth grade. And he was up in a bunk in the nut ward. And I said, "What's wrong with you, Barry?" He says, "I don't know. I don't know." And his eyes are like all over the map. I felt bad for him. They dismissed him. And there's only one place for a guy like that to go, and he went right to the Garment Center. And he went to work with the other wonderful people down there selling neckties, I think. Not the Colombian type. I mean, actual, you know, like for suits. So, all right, as years go on, the mother's still on the bennies. And she took all of her hatred out on him. This was actually before he wound up nuts in the nut ward at Fort Dix. I'll give you one story in particular. Here's the story. It's a very crazy story. The mother's nuts, jacked up on bennies. And she had a hatred for her son, her eldest son. He came home, it was like dawn, dusk rather. He and I came home 5 o'clock, it was dark in the winter, I remember. Somewhere up near Alley Pond Park, I don't know where it was. They lived in a better house than we did. We lived in an attached house. They were really rich, they lived in a detached house, in other words. And those were the differentials then, in my neighborhood. If you had a detached house, you were like almost middle class. If you had a detached house with an actual garden all around it, oh, you were as close to Donald Trump as you could ever imagine. He lived in a detached house because his father made more money. That's the way it was. They drove a Cadillac. We drove an Oldsmobile. You know what I'm saying? It was all so segmented in America in those days. And the mother drove a pink Cadillac and had bleached blonde hair. She thought she was Jane Mansfield, that type. So she was always like putting on airs. And, you know, naturally she had to have a good figure, so she took the bennies. Actually, he shot her up. He didn't just give her. He injected her, right? In those days, docs, they injected you, because this is a second story. I told you about the guy I drove around when I was 17 who was a heroin addict or something, because he couldn't drive. And he says, "Hey, kid, you want to drive for me? I got the job." I was driving him around. I didn't know what he was doing. I took him to a doctor. He's a very nervous guy. And he go in nervous as hell, jittery. He go into some shady doctor's office in Jackson Heights. And he come out calm and cool. He looked like, wow. And he sat back in the back seat of the car. It was his car. I drove it. And he light up a cigarette, like a cool or something. And he leaned back and he says, "Hey, kid, man, everything." And he was like, suddenly he was like a nice guy. And I tell him my problems. And he was like Mr. Understanding. He was getting injected. Doctor was shooting him up with probably, in those days, God knows what, morphine, heroin, I don't know. So now the mother was getting shot up with bennies. That's in a different story. I'm giving you a double now. I'm giving you, you know, two stories of doctors in those days. Gets shot up. The mother comes home. Kid comes home. It's dusk in Queens. We get there. She goes on a tear against him, screaming at him. And she takes her wrist and starts hitting it with a dog chain. I swear to God. And her wrist starts bleeding in front of the son, and she's screaming at him, "Look what you did to my wrist," as she's hitting her own wrist. And we're like kids. We're 15 years old. I mean, who ever saw a behavior like this? She's smashing her wrist with a chain, and blood's coming out. So we ran the hell out of there. I mean, this woman was certifiably nuts. So we go out. We don't know where to go. It was cold. And we come back around 7, slip in the house. Right around that time, the father comes home. Drained, looks white from the day's work, as all the fathers did in those days. Drained. They worked so hard, like 12, 13 hours, 14 hours a day. The minute he walked in the house, the mother picks up the bloody wrist and says, Manny, look what your son did to me. Look what he did to me. Beat my wrist with a chain. I swear to God. So now what's the father to do? He believes the wife. So he runs upstairs. My friend and I are in his bedroom. And he says, "What did you do to your mother?" And my friend was his size at that point, the size of his father. And he says, "I didn't do anything. She's crazy." And the father's enraged and says, "Don't you dare call your mother crazy." And he says, "She's crazy. She did it to herself." So the father hauls off to hit him. He blocks the punch. And the worst thing I ever saw in my life was father and son in a boxing match in the bedroom. I swear to God. It was heartbreaking because I knew this kid since he was in the fifth grade. I knew his father, who I loved dearly. He was a sweet guy. The mother pitted the father and son against each other. They get into a fight. I'm talking whack. And the father goes out of the room. No one really won. I guess they didn't want to kill each other. And I saw my friend shaking with rage, and tears are streaming down his eyes. And he looks at this piggy bank, which he had since he was a little kid, since I knew him, a big, giant pink piggy bank made of plastic or glass, full of coins. And he picks it up and smashes it on the floor, and the coins fly all over the room on the carpet. And we left the house, and that was the end of his childhood. That was it. He became a certifiable nut after that. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I'm Nixon.
Here's a little-known word, not used often, called shill. A shill is an accomplice of a hawker, gambler, or swindler who acts as an enthusiastic customer to entice or encourage others. Wikipedia says a shill, also called a plant or a stooge, is a person who publicly helps a person or organization without disclosing that they have a close relationship. Well, that would be Jake Tapper of CNN. He would be a shill or a stooge of Obama. Candy Crowley, stooge of the Democrat Party. Remember what she did during the debates between Obama and, I forget his name, Romney. Urban Dictionary, shill, a person engaged in covert advertising. The shill attempts to spread buzz by personally endorsing a product in public forums. You get a lot of them on the internet, shills. But the Democrats have millions of shills. Some are employed, some aren't. Here's one writes, I was a paid internet shill. How shadowy groups manipulate the imagery. All right. And so Obama, for example, uses the media. They're all shills of his. You look at his interview on NPR over the weekend. Shills, NPR, National Public Radio. Are you joking? So they're shills, in other words, right? A stooge, a plant, publicly helps a person or organization without disclosing that they have a close relationship. Jake Tapper, CNN, disgraced talk show, disgraced would-be journalist, came out of nowhere, no one knows who he is, shill. Wood Blitzer, shill. I mean, is there anyone in the media who's not a shill of Obama? I don't know, name one. There are a few, there would be. I say O'Reilly's a half a shill. He's a half a shill, O'Reilly. I can't mention, okay, the other one isn't. Wallbanger, to his credit, is not a shill. I'm nothing against the guy, truthfully, we're just competitors, but I don't have anything against him. I like Wallbanger personally. Never met him. Why he hates me, I'll never understand. Just because I took his spots on the best stations in America, he shouldn't really hate me for that. It's just the way the game is played. Some win, some lose. He lost. He had a good run. Well, what's he mad about? Which I shouldn't have taken it when they thought I was finished and out of it, and suddenly I came back like a phoenix rising from the ashes. They should be happy for me. It means there should be hope for them one day when everyone thinks they're finished and gone. They come back. They get off the mat, they dust themselves off. You know, I met a guy, now I remember, this turning into unprotected talk is my unprotected talk now. Another story from the past. The friend's father, the toughest kid I knew, his father was a professional gambler and fighter. Now, you wouldn't expect that in that menu of guys, but, gee, I got 30 seconds to tell his story. He was a real tough customer, never spoke much, but all the kids gravitated to him because we knew who the tough guy was. And he taught us, you know, different things. But the fact is, he said to me, you know, I've known millionaires in those days. That was a big thing. And he said, all of them have one thing in common. He said, they've all gone bust several times in their life and started their lives all over again. And he said, that's the mark of a successful man, guys. Remember that. It's not if you lose, but if you get yourself off the mat and start again. Could you imagine that, telling that to a kid?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's another Manic Monday with Michael Savage. And we're talking about all the news of the day. Well, all the news of the day, whatever I feel like talking about. See, it's like talk radio is, if you go on three websites, Drudge, Fox, a few others, CNN, if you want to see what the idiots are doing to act as shills for Obama, you don't need me for the news. What you need me for is to interpret the news, which I'll do if you want me to, like the missing plane. What can I tell you? They found an oil slick. What shall I say? Let's hope that it actually is a crash this time. There was a story. I'm sorry, I was eating raw garlic during the break. That's one of the secrets to my longevity and success. I'm choking to death from it right now. I reheated some spaghetti from a supermarket, and I chopped some raw garlic in it, you know, because I know how good that stuff is. Unfortunately, I'm not sitting in a restaurant with a bottle of Chianti. I'm sitting in front of a microphone. Oh, I'm giving the mayor of New York a new name. It's going to stick. I know it does. Every time I do this, you know who he is, right? The guy who sicked the mobs on the police and then said he didn't, and then told the police to dummy up. How dare they turn their backs on him? His name is Bloody-O. Mayor Bloody-O is the new name for the mayor of New York, because he has blood on his hands. And the quicker he resigns, the faster that city will heal. Bloody-O, Mr. Mayor, from Savage with Love. Former NTSB Chief Deborah Herzman says unprecedented C-3 plane losses from same part of the world. That is a little weird. That is a little weird. Again, what's that about? And you wake up and there it is again? So I saw a weird article on the plane thing. Bizarre Chinese forum post may have predicted doomed AirAsia flight QZ8501. A rambling post 2 weeks ago to a Chinese forum predicting the downing of an AirAsia flight that was previously ignored has now come back into focus after flight QZ8501 disappeared Sunday over the Java Sea. The warning claimed a shadow organization referred to in Chinese as an international black hand was responsible for attacks on two Malaysian Airlines flights earlier this year, and that a new attack on an AirAsia plane was imminent. The post was to Tianya, a Chinese version of Reddit, came 2 weeks ago and predicted dire consequences for anyone flying AirAsia. The poster said, Black Hand has hijacked and shot down MH370 and MH17, wrote the poster. Now the Black Hand are targeting AirAsia to ruin this airline cause it too belonged to Malaysia. That's terrible. Then he wrote, given how powerful the Black Hand are, I suggest that all Chinese thinking about traveling to avoid AirAsia so that you don't disappear like those on MH370, wrote the mysterious poster who goes by the name Landlord. You could be happily vacationing, working, or studying abroad, but if you go on Malaysian Airline or AirAsia, you're dead. Be careful, everyone, Landlord insisted, urging people to warn family and friends against flying either airline, blah, blah, blah. People immediately dismissed the claims, calling Landlord a conspiracy nut and questioning the validity of his claims. All right. Fine. So you have an answer for what happened? Some of them believe he is a Chinese intelligence official. Others feel he may have gone back and edited the original post to reflect AirAsia. Landlord's account has not made a new post to Tianya since December 17. Well, the search for flight QZ8501 remains ongoing. Authorities do not believe a terrorist attack was the cause. No. They see a Muslim screaming Allah Akbar with a machete in their hands. There's no terrorism involved. Like in Australia, no terrorism. Nothing to see. Move along. Hijack the religion. Move along. Hijack the religion. Move along here. Nothing to see. No relationship to a religion. Keep moving. Scotland confirms case of Ebola. Another doctor. Young people are a lost generation who can no longer fix gadgets, warns professor. Why should they fix them? Soldiers relocate wedding to accommodate Obama's golf game. Okay, we saw that story. But the biggest scream of all is the Gallup report saying that Obama's the most popular man on earth and Hillary extend the run as most admired. Are you kidding me? It shows you that the Gallup organization is now a shill for Obama. Like, what else is new? The Gallup organization lost their credibility a long time ago. Why do we even believe these polls? Why do we even refer to them? I don't NPR, another shill organization. So here we are, Gallup's top 10 world findings, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, extend runners most admired. Yeah, right. Runner-up is Oprah Winfrey, you hear? Who are they interviewing? Not you or me. We work for a living. If a phone rings, either I'm working or I answer it, I say yes. They say I'm taking a poll, I hang up on them. So who answers but someone who has nothing to do? Of course, amongst the morons who have nothing to do, Hillary would be popular. Look at the list. Most admired woman. Look at the list they give him. Hillary Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, Malala Yousafzai, Condoleezza Rice, Michelle Obama, Angela Jolie, Sarah Palin, Princess Kate, Elizabeth Warren, and Laura Bush. That's the choices you have from the shill organization. Most admired man, Barack Obama, Pope Francis, Bill Clinton, Reverend Billy Graham, George W. Bush, Ben Carson, Stephen Hawking, Bill Gates, Bill O'Reilly, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Vladimir Putin. You hear? And they put Netanyahu next to Putin like there's no bias in that lumping. For nearly seven decades, the shill Gallup organization has asked Americans, using an open-ended question, to name the man or woman living anywhere in the world whom they admire most. In total, Hillary Clinton has been admired woman 19 times. Six more times than Eleanor Roosevelt. Okay. There's nothing you could say. There's no sarcasm possible. Clinton and Winfrey are joined in the top 10 by Nobel Prize-winning Pakistani teen Malala Yousafzai. Who is she? Who is she? What does she do? Oh, I'm sorry she was shot in the face, but I never heard of her, and I'm in the news business. All right, fine. I'm sorry that she was hurt, and let's move on. Nothing to see here. But who would put Oprah Winfrey on the most admired? Who is she admired by? Who watches that woman but people who sit at home and have nothing to do? How could Angela Jolie even be listed as one of the most popular women on earth? How is that possible? How is that even possible? Or Princess Kate, a useless idiot, a useless royal who nobody, no reason in the world to even know who she is, Princess Kate. What does she do? Princess Kate. She's not my princess. I'm not a royal lover or a royal watcher. That's for women from Westchester who want to be invited to their party. Obama, a solid number one, is most admired man. Amongst two, the welfare suckers, beating out George W. Bush. Oh, no, Bush is at the bottom. Behind Billy Graham, Ronald Reagan, Carter, and Pope. Don't get me started on the Pope. This Pope is a danger to the world's survival. This guy, you talk about a shill. Who picked this guy? I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend Catholics, but my headline is a little different. Look, the observers, Pope Francis's edict on climate change will anger deniers in U.S. churches. My headline on michaelsavage.com is a little different. Commie Pope now pushes climate change racket. Now, why would the commie Pope do this? Because he's a commie Pope. That's why. Why else would he push fraudulent science down the throats of the world? What could he hope to gain from this? Think about this. It's a worldwide conspiracy of lies. Everybody knows that by now. Every educated person who's actually read the data knows that the whole concept of man-induced climate change is a scam. Which is not to say I'm arguing for pollution. I have done my share in my lifetime to save rainforests and work for the betterment of the world's of the planet. So don't lecture me, all you leftists. I've done more than you have. But if you read the data, you know that it's fraudulent. So what is the Pope sticking his nostrils into this for? Why? Why is he sticking his nose into environmental radicalism? Why? Why is he doing this? Because he is a communist, socialist, whatever you want to call him. He's a shadowy guy who was picked out of nowhere. The first non-European Pope in 1,200 years or 1,400 years. That unto itself was a giveaway. The same invisible hand that picked Obama and made him president picked the Pope to be Pope. All over the world you see this going on. All right, that leads us now to, what is this? Most top 10 finishes on most admired man list between 1946 and 2014. Edward Kennedy is up there. Are you kidding me? He's still on the list? Wow. It just shows you how valid the Gallup poll is. Billy Graham is 58 times on it. How do you like that? Ronald Reagan, 31. That should get Ronald Reagan. That's like a magic word. Reagan. Constitution. Ronald Reagan. If only Republicans had a Ronald Reagan. He was a mixed bag, Ronald Reagan. I mean, he was mixed. He was not that great. He was good. Certainly as good as we're ever going to get in America, but he's not a great man. I know he wrote his own speeches and he was all of that, but he was not that good. I remember what I wrote in my own journal. I was a young guy. When the farmers were committing suicide in the Midwest because agribusiness was taking over their farms, the farmers would go get a clean pair of underwear and shoot themselves in the barn before their neighbors bid on their rakes and their tractors. You know, real close-knit families out there in the Midwest. The minute the guy died, they couldn't wait to bid on his farm, the hay, the cow, the herd, the tractor, the farmer's underwear, the shotgun, the neighbor. They didn't cry for him. They try to get it for, you know, a few cents on a dollar. It's like when my father had the heart attack. I mean, everything is personal to me. It is nothing in the world that's not political and not personal to me. I don't care what the subject is. So I read a story like that. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you a personal story. My father got the heart attack. The first one, it didn't knock him off. The second one did. Eh, whatever. I was in college. I was a junior in college. I had to leave college to help run the family store. I missed a semester. It wasn't that bad. It was more interesting than college in a way. The only thing missing were the girls. But the thing was, I'm in the store. 2 days later, I open up the stand, lower the stand. He had the antiques lined up on the four racks. I remember to this day, people came in with crocodile tears. And I'm the son, 18. I don't know how old they're, 18. What did I know? I knew from nothing. They figured I was a naive kid. They'd come in, they would like fake tears for my father. They'd say, oh, is your father okay in the hospital? Oh, he's, you know, whatever. And so, oh, by the way, you see that pair of lamps way in the top, the Dore bronze, like the most? Yeah, he put those aside for me and paid for them like last month. Even I, as a naive kid, knew they were lying. I didn't know what to do because I was shy. I said, like, oh, really? You have a receipt? No, your father didn't give receipts. I'll take the lamps now. I said, no, I can't give them to you until he's back from the hospital. So even then, I mean, people were trying to rip me off. I mean, what do you think? It was different then? That's the nature of the world. My father used to tell me that in this world, if you don't nail a coin down, they'll steal it from you. So what we did was we soldered coins to nails, and we'd nail them into the stand that he had in the front. You know, we'd nail a quarter into the stand. I swear to God. And my father used to like the kid around. He had a sense of humor, you know, he'd get bored. He said, watch what happens. We'll turn our backs. And you keep your eye on that guy through the corner of your eye. Next one who comes by, watch them try to take the quarter off the stand. I said, come on, Dad. And a guy would come and he'd look left and right and go for the quarter. And, of course, it's nailed to the boards. It's a petty story. I mean, a simple story, but it just shows you what human nature is. If it's not nailed down, people will take it. I know you wouldn't. I know all people listen to conservative talk wouldn't do it. You're better than the average person. But most people will just steal anything they can. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver.
Is 25 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. We are experiencing unprotected talk today, a phrase I coined by accident on Friday, which I have a friend who's the top of the pyramid in the media who said, Michael, he called me Saturday. He said, are you kidding? How'd you come up with that? I said, it came out of my head. He said, write it down and trademark it. It'll be stolen by Monday. So fortunately, the other hosts are off this week. I haven't seen it stolen yet on the radio, but my lawyer went for the TM job. It's good unprotected talk, and we'll take a few unprotected calls. Line 4, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Vince. Michael, you're a mensch, and I'm a mensch, and I know you like fast cars and muscle cars and all that, and I've got such a deal for you today. You won't believe it. Are you ready?
Yes, go on.
Do you know about the Callaway Supercharger Corvette?
I just bought a Hellcat. It's faster than the Callaway Corvette.
What's the horsepower on that thing?
720, I think.
Ah, well, this is 600. It's pretty fast.
What, you want to sell me a car?
Yes. I think it would be an honor. Don't you?
My friend, I'm not in the used car business, but I have to say thank you very much. I don't have any more garage space. I ordered a Hellcat. Chrysler built it for me, I heard, They took one off a production line. They made it to my specs. There's not much you can do. I just wanted a black two-door automatic. The rest is pretty much standard. And I hear it's at the dealer in Michigan who did it for me. And it's going to be shipped, I think, next week right after the holidays. So the minute I get it, I can't wait to drive it around the Bay Area and insult people with Priuses. And I want to see all the people with Priuses, what they look like, because I'm not going to step on the gas. Just to affront them with a muscle car is worth it to me. It's their worst nightmare. It's like a retro 70s car. It's so big and powerful. You know, I'm looking forward to the day when we all drive around little Obama cars and they don't, you know, they all go at the same speed and they're connected to a rail in the middle of the road and everyone's equal and safe. And everyone on welfare is given an Obama car with an Obama phone, an Obama house, Obama suit, Obama shoes, sort of along the lines of the Mao jacket with the little red star. Then we'll have equality, won't we? Speaking about equality, here's a little story that didn't make it to your newspaper. It's on the Gateway Pundit. Breaking news, Sunday, December 28th, 8:36 last night. Black male in trench coat stabs five people at popular D.C. restaurant. A black male entered McFadden's restaurant and saloon on Saturday night and stabbed five people before fleeing. There are reports of blood all over the floor. Police are still looking for the suspect, who reportedly did not know the people he attacked. And people, the blog comments are so cruel. Sharpton is on the way to D.C. in the Batmobile to clear up this obviously made-up story by eyewitnesses. And the headlines have been rewritten already. A troubled teen and a robbery gone wrong. His mama says he has mental problems. Mama says he was turning his life around. He was on a full scholarship to Harvard, about to attend in the spring. A father of three with three different... You get it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Fashion's less racially divided, but I actually think that the issue has surfaced in a way that probably is healthy.
The propaganda ministry putting out the propaganda that the country is less racially divided under Barack Obama, the most racially divisive president in American history. And here's a little story to go with that little soundbite. Black male in trench coat stabs five people at popular D.C. restaurant. Black male entered McFadden's restaurant and saloon on Saturday night and stabbed five people before fleeing the popular restaurant. There were reports of blood all over the floor. I guess Sharpton's on the way down with the victim mobile to make sure that the perpetrator is not unfairly targeted because of his race. That's the world we're living in, complete lies from top to bottom. I know a liberal who said to me, I wish to God we could see his transcripts from Columbia, because no one even knows if he went there. No one knows where he went. But all right, it's 6 years into his administration. He's a good man, a wonderful man. He saved the country, saved the world, didn't really start a new Cold War, brought the races together. Everyone's happier than ever. Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to grab a gal. And maybe it was a robbery gone right. Victimobile. Terrible what's going on. I mean, you're not supposed to. Calling Al Sharpton a reverend. Look what someone wrote. That's not right. Calling Al Sharpton a reverend is akin to calling Jeffrey Dahmer a chef. Oh, come on. That's not right. That's low. He's a good reverend. No one knows where he went to divinity school. We heard that he was given it when he was like a five-year-old because they knew he was a rabble-rouser. Even then, they gave him a name. What I love, forget about it. I don't even want to go on. The worst person in America is Al Sharpton. Now, he's actually worse than Obama because of the things he says on a daily basis and gets away with. Dear Michael, hi from New York. You may remember me from the 80s. I don't remember anybody. I have Mikeheimers. I live in the present. I have Mikeheimers. I choose to live in the here and now. Oh, I'm in a long segment where I can talk for a minute. So let's go to unprotected talk on the Savage Nation, which I'm enjoying. I don't know what it's doing. You know what it's doing for me? I got to swear to God, let me tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you because then people will copy me. Then everyone's going to want to do unprotected talk. All right, let the whole medium would be better for it. A rising tide raises all ships, they say. I'll tell you what's good about unprotected talk as a talk show. Normally, if I'm sitting here looking at two screens, I got the news on the right, and I have three screens up. I have the news. I got the two website, two email accounts, right? Then on the left screen, I have the Telos screen, name, city, and comment. Now, every day I'm looking at that, seeing what you're saying, what station you're on, and what you're saying, and it shapes my mind. I don't want my mind to be shaped by the callers. So I'm not, that screen is blank now. It just says all the lights are lit. I can take any caller. I don't know what he's going to say or she's going to say. And as a result, my mind is free to roam. Do you understand what this is doing for me? This is liberating my mind. I feel like it's a different radio show. The time flies by. No exhaustion. And we'll see how it works out in the ratings department. We don't know. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you like the other way, where I get on one topic and stick to it for an hour or so. I don't know. I'm going to give it a shot and see, because that's how it is. Commie Pope now pushes climate change. All right, line 7, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic? Where are you?
Hey, Doc. How you doing, Dr. Savage? I just I know you're doing a little bit more of a lighthearted show today, so I was wondering if I could do my Dr. Savage impression for you.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, this is Michael Savage of the Savage Nation. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
That's an impersonation? Where's the voice and the inflections?
Well, you got to... I'm Michael Savage of the...
All right, take a walk. I'm sorry, kid. I'm sorry. Where's the person? I don't understand. That was terrible. Is that what he does in his neighborhood? That's the equivalent of doo-wop singing today? They stand in the corner and do impersonations of me? I don't blame them, but you got to work at it. Okay, let's go to line 4 on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, hi. I just wanted to let you know that not everybody who drives a Prius is a liberal. I'm kind of an ultra-conservative, leaning toward libertarian grandmother, and I drive a Prius because of the mileage, because I have kids all over the world, because I have kids in the military. And
all right. Thank you for informing me of that. So the next time a Prius driver gives me the finger as I'm driving by in a fast sports car, I'll know that it's not you. The worst drivers on the road may not be the Prius driver. Years ago, it was the Jeep drivers I found were amongst the meanest. I had several altercations with road rage, and they were all Jeep drivers, and I didn't know why. They were always the same. They were guys who wanted a more expensive 4x4 but couldn't afford one. They just had a chip on their shoulder. They were like something was wrong, and they all... It's a nice car, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'd love to have one, but... I just found it. There was a lot of Jeep drivers and a lot of rage in those days. Today, maybe it's changed. I don't know. You want me to do heavy news? I'm not going to do heavy news. Why should I? I've done already heavy news all day long, but you didn't hear it. Line 9, you're on the Savage Nation. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hi, I'm from Long Island. Listen, everybody else, turn off all the other stations. The best radio I ever heard was when you were making fun of the waifs who won't eat gluten but will do cocaine all night.
Who?
You did a show saying that the waifs will not eat gluten, but they will stay up.
Wait, whoa. I think you're breaking up. The weeks? What's a week?
A waif. A waif.
A
woman.
The waifs? W-A-I-F-S?
Yes. Now they will do cocaine all night, but they will not eat gluten.
They will not eat gluten?
Yeah, you did a show. You were making
the hypocrisy of the society today. Well, all night long they're up doing drugs. In the morning they're on a gluten-free diet. They're vegans and they're gluten-free. But the night before, yeah, I get it. And that's pretty true, isn't it?
Oh, it's so true. And another thing is you bring nostalgia. Everybody wants to hear about Queens in the 60s. That's why.
Why does everyone want to hear my family stories? Why is that so popular?
Because. That's why people watch Goodfellas 80 times. They want to know about Queens in the 60s. It's nostalgia. That's why people buy these...
Is it because America is disappearing in front of our eyes and changing so fast? People want to know what life was like in those days kind of thing?
People are grasping at something from when they were a kid. And even if it wasn't their experience, it's like watching Mad Men, why Mad Men was so...
Oh, you know, you're right. I have people who say to me that they're young people in their 20s. They love Mad Men and they love this show. I said, well, what's the connection? They said, they're both sort of a snapshot or a movie of that time. So what, you're putting me in the past? They said, no, that's not the point. But you're reality. They call me reality radio. That's what they call me.
And you suck them in, it's like watching. watching TV and being enveloped into another era, which people love. That's why people...
But you're saying you're listening to me only because of the past or because of the present? And you have no insight. My insights don't matter?
No, I love politics, but that's what makes it different from the leprechaun and that other schmuck on the other one.
Don't say it. I'm trying to be nice for 2015 for Lep.
Let's be real. Who wants to listen to all that yak all the time?
I don't know. He does tours every Friday. Makes money. How does he go on the road and make so much money giving a speech? What do they say? Has anyone been to one of Lep's speeches? What does he talk about?
I have no idea.
They may make a lot of money. I could do the tour. I don't want to live in a hotel room, though, that night. It's horrible. It isn't worth anything to me to get stuck in a hotel room in Memphis. All right, thanks for the call. No, that wasn't a bad call. All right, unprotected talk continues right now. We go to line four. Welcome, sir or lady. What's on your mind? Where are you from?
Thank you, Michael. This is Jack in San Francisco, KSFO.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you, Michael. You're one of the few people in America who cares enough to tell us about the dangers of marijuana. You saved my life. I quit.
Well, how did I save your? You mean you were a pothead till I explained the medical dangers?
That's right.
And how many years were you hooked on that dangerous weed?
More than 30.
30 years?
For 3 months, I've been off, and I've done more in 3 months than I've done in the last 10 years.
That's amazing, Jack. I want to tell you something. It's not easy to kick marijuana. It's a very addictive drug, and it's going to take you a couple of years to not crave it. You know that.
Oh, I do know, and a little red wine helps with the craving.
Huh. Well, but the craving will continue for a long, long time. You're going to always want to have that joint, and you got to understand that that's the devil talking to you through your tongue and your sensory apparatus, because it's an addictive substance.
It gave me my senses back. I now find enjoyment in my own mind and in my own self rather than through the chemicals. I'm more tolerant of people. I'm happier.
Well, you know that marijuana makes people very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Jumpy, edgy, very, very edgy, very on edge.
Sure, that's why they call it it's a loud noise, and you get a buzzkill because, man, everything's ruined, and you got to get more. And all the time I have now that I don't go after it anymore, I don't waste my time with the people that are on. Now I can't even.
You know how much time people spend buying it, talking about it, cultivating it, smoking it, whatever. It's a gigantic addiction, and the nation is addicted to marijuana right now because of evil forces like, I know who started this. It was George Soros, because I argued with his chief architects in 98, 99, when he spent $1 million in Arizona, $1 million in California, to push the concept of medical marijuana on the ballots. And I was saying, all you're going to wind up doing is doping a nation. And we had arguments over it. I saw it was coming. This is just the beginning now.
I agree. Every high school kid in America should be tested before they learn trigonometry, before they learn Greek mythology. They ought to test them for cigarettes and pot. If they're smoking pot, they should.
Well, do you also agree with me that Congress should be drug tested at the beginning of every session?
I think
everyone in Congress, all the way up to the president, should be drug tested every quarter by being forced to pee in a cup, and the results should be posted publicly on the internet so we know that we're not dealing with drug-addicted congressmen, because it explains a lot of their behavior. A lot of their behavior is that of people who are like zombies on drugs.
People seem like zombies to me now. You know, you are the only one in America brave enough to tell us that we're junkies on marijuana. And if you hadn't done that, if you, who I listened to since day one, hadn't been saying that over and over and over again, I never would have even had the desire to stop. I thought I was so cool. I thought I was with everybody. And because someone I respected, you, someone as intelligent as you, successful as you, maybe the successful is the part, kept testing.
But I got to tell, I smoked marijuana as a young man, and it really threw me off the track. I saw what it did to my writing. I told you that before. It took me many years to understand how dangerously directionless it makes people. Now, Jack, before we go, where do you live? You live in San Francisco?
Stoned Francisco, yes, Michael.
And, I mean, do you care to tell us what you do for a living, or would that be too revealing?
I'm a handyman.
All right. There's no commentary on that.
Have we ever met each other?
It's all I was able to do as a stoner.
No, I'm saying, have you and I ever met each other in the daily rounds of North Beach or in my walking around the city? Have we ever bumped into each other?
Probably not, but if so, I don't think there was recognition. No.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for sharing that with us. I'm glad I helped you in a positive way. We're going to continue with Unprotected Talk the minute I return right here on The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is a crazier world than anyone I've ever lived in. You look at a story out of New York where fur protesters are bothering the fur vendors down in the east side. Well, I don't know where they were. And the fur sellers go on the roof and throw bleach down on them. Like morons, it hits. They couldn't figure out the bleach from a roof is going to hit people who are not protesting, including their own fur. Unbelievable to me. The whole world is in turmoil. Now Iran is our friend. The same Iran that threatened to wipe Israel off the map as Obama's new bud along the lines of Cuba. They're going to open an embassy now in Iran. Can you believe this? So Israel's now our enemy. Russia's now our enemy. The Russian people who once loved Americans now hate Americans. The world is upside down, but these shills in the media like NPR and Jake Tapper of CNN, the shills for Obama, tell us that the world's never been a better place and everyone's happier and things are wonderful. So you got to read through the headlines to understand what's actually going on. 855-400-7282. We continue with our open mic to mic. Unprotected talk is what it comes down to. I got time for one call at this shot, then another big hour. Line three, name, station, city, where are you from?
Hello, I'm from New York, and my name is Carrie, and I have three questions. One, especially now what you just said about Iran, do you think, because each time the administration is going to do something really preposterous that nobody wants them to do, they have something else that happens. Like Ferguson came out the same day as they continue talks with Iran. Do you think that the people that put Obama into power, that Obama is listening to them, or he and his administration are now doing what they want?
You're asking me if there's a secret hand that is running the show. I don't have proof one way or the other, but I have evidence that would indicate there's some kind of conspiracy. The day after the election, Obama, by his own admission, met with the leaders of the anti-police protest movement in Ferguson, Missouri. He had them to the White House. What does that tell you? What does it tell you that he invites a low-life scum like Al Sharpton in and out of the White House over the last 6 years, one of the lowest people on the planet, a man who has made his career attacking police, is in and out of the White House? What does that tell you that Obama and Holder and Sharpton have in common?
And it's also, remember you did that show, that amazing show on punishment by silence and ignoring us? So the day after the election, he ignores everybody that voted.
That's correct, because he's a punishing figure. Obama is an evil, punishing figure, that's right. And he only rewards those who kiss and lick his boots. I understand that. And he dismisses all the working people of America who dismiss the entire Democrat Party as sort of renegades when we are actually the backbone of America. That's the situation we're in. That's the problem we have. We have a rogue president to deal with for another 2 big years. I'll be right
back. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I said at the beginning of this year that 2014 would be a breakthrough year. And it was a bumpy path. But at the end of 2014, I could look back and say we are as well positioned today as we have been in quite some time economically.
Oh, sure. Race relations.
That American leadership is more needed around the world than ever before.
Okay, turn it off. You know, this guy is the biggest fraud in the history of the presidency. Race relations have never been worse since the Civil War. He started a new Cold War with Russia. He has virtually put Israel out as a pariah nation. He has dismissed the entire election as though it didn't occur. And to top things off, before the new Congress has even convened, the evil president has threatened to veto any bills that the newly elected Congress might pass. The new Congress hasn't yet been sworn in, but President Divider is warning he plans to use his veto pen to counter initiatives from the incoming Republican majority. That means you. We elected a new Congress. We elected a new Congress. He's saying we're going to nullify the new Congress. And he said this in a Shill interview with NPR, National Shill Radio, and he's threatening to use the veto pen before he's even begun. Among the two items for the new Senate are a bill to force approval of the controversial Keystone XL pipeline. Why is it controversial? What makes it controversial? Because four whack jobs from Harvard and Berkeley don't want the pipeline? It's controversial? We need the oil from the tar sands of Alberta. You want to see lower gas prices? Bring in the pipeline. And he also wants to remove sanctions on the terrorist nation of Iran and let them build a nuclear weapon and wipe Israel off the map. Now, he doesn't want them to wipe Israel off the map, but I'm sure he would like Israel threatened so that they cave in and give up half their land to the Palestinians and create a two-state solution, which will give the Jews no uncertain future. In the NPR Shill interview, the so-called president suggested he would mostly use his veto pen to block efforts to unravel existing laws and regulations pushed by his crazy administration. He says, I'm going to defend. Well, and you get the picture. So what happens when a president uses a veto pen like that? I guess it goes somewhere else. It goes to the full Congress for a vote, doesn't it? And then what happens? And then it goes to the Supreme Court if someone sues? Whatever. I'd rather talk about a neti pot, a nasal irrigation, than Obama's veto pen. To me, Obama needs a good neti pot in order to clear up some fogginess of his thinking. Does this man not know that he lives in a democracy, not a dictatorship? Bill de Blasio, desperate for a scapegoat, whacks the media. He has a new name. It's Bill de Bloodio. Bill de Bloodio is his new name, or call him just Bloodio. Has a 1950s ring to it. 855-407-282 is the phone number. We have unprotected talk, which means none of the calls have been screened. None. I have no idea what the people are going to say. I don't know where the show is going to go. I'll give you the news, views, and reviews I'm famous for. I'll probably drift off into some family stories if something provokes them. I will analyze anything you wish. I'd rather you have questions for me than comments, frankly. You know. Right? So the phone number is 855-407-282. Don't call it because there are no open lines on the Savage Nation. I am the only live national host, I think, on the air. Everyone else is on vacation. Why? Why must you go on vacation between Christmas and New Year's? Where is it written that a talk show host must be on vacation? I could have gone to Florida. I have a house down there. I didn't go. First of all, I have a friend that lives there. He said, stay away. It's a freak heat wave. It's 20 degrees hotter than normal, and the humidity is off the charts. I wasn't going anyway because I don't like to go anywhere. I'm happy where I am. I'm happy in my own unhappiness where I am. Let me put it that way. Where's happiness? Robert, you got that, right? I'm happy in my own life for whatever it is and whatever it is, and I've got a lot to be thankful for. And I could list the things I'm happy for, you know, but it's like a begging. It's tempting fate when you do a thing like that. I have basically hit all the goals I set out to hit when I was a young man. I'm looking at my journals. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you, you know, if you really want to know where I'm coming from, I want to have an enjoyable time on the radio. And I hope to God you continue to listen with my more unstructured programming in the coming year, because I'm going to do more of this rather than less. It frees me up to look at the board and not see what you're calling about, because then I'm not sucked into someone's viewpoint. This way my mind is free to roam and come up with anything that I'm interested in, and I feel liberated at the end of 3 hours. I feel I could do 6 hours if I wanted. Five, let's say, not six. Six is rough. I could do a 5-hour show without stress, without a co-host.
I have more energy for radio now than I did 20 years ago. Would you believe it? I remember when I began in radio, the program director, I would get off the air drained, sweating. My socks would be wet. Would you believe it? I would be wet from head to toe from perspiration. And I said to the PD, I said, I'm just drained. He said, that's the mark of a good show. He said, you're supposed to get off the air drained. Well, I don't believe that anymore. Yes, I believe in giving my best, but I don't think that I have to do it that way anymore. I'm like Babe Ruth at his peak, where he could knock one out of the park and walk around the bases. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm aiming for. I don't have to run around the bases as fast as I used to prove anything. I'd rather... But I don't think that I have to do it that way anymore. I'm like Babe Ruth at his peak, where he could knock one out of the park and walk around the bases. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm aiming.
Such when you went into that segue after contraception, you go, we're going to have unprotected talk or whatever. And I just howled. It was so funny. That was.
Isn't it amazing that I created a phrase on the fly and a friend in the media who's at the top of the pyramid said, you better trademark it. It's the best thing he's ever heard.
And Dr. Raji called. I enjoyed that conversation.
Oh, remember the Indian psychiatrist? And she never would have been screened. She never would have gotten through a screener because I have a rule. I generally don't let people with heavy foreign accents on because I feel listeners can't understand them. But she was a winner. She was an A-plus winner, remember?
I heard you say that, and I'm like, dang, that's like kismet. I mean, it's like fortuitous. I have a feeling. About her and you.
Well, I'm glad you're a listener. Are you a regular listener to the show?
Yeah. Do you remember a long time ago when they offered you a TV show, and if you could hear me yelling back, I'd say, don't do it, don't do it, it's a setup, it's a setup. And it was. I knew.
Oh, you mean back in 2003 when I was set up by MSNBC? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, no, everyone in the media said that they should have screened that caller and gone to a commercial, but they had it in for me. That was my opinion even then, but I don't like television. It's not my forte.
So, from the get-go.
No, you know, some people are good at it. I'm not, because on the radio, which is a theater of the mind, I don't have to focus on how I look and how I'm presenting myself or what clothing I'm wearing, you know, what my face looks like. I don't have to stare in the camera where they say make love to the camera. Remember all of that. So on radio, I just think out loud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so fresh.
Well, thank you for listening. I'm sending you a free copy of what? If you name it, you gain it. What book are you getting?
No. Don't leave. I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Have you ever heard this? Because as far as I know, I think I made it up, but if I didn't, you tell me. The pen is mightier than the sword, but the tongue can lick them both.
The tongue licks a pen and a sword?
The pen is mightier than the sword, but the tongue can lick them both. Do you get it?
Oh, you mean speech is more powerful than the pen or the sword?
But the tongue can lick the sword and the tongue can lick a pen. I mean, yeah, you know, literally.
I don't know about licking a sword. I mean, I that's not my idea of what to do with my tongue. I don't mean to be lewd. I mean, but who licks a sword?
Neither. I think I made it up, but I never heard that, but I just wanted to...
Well, now we're already bordering on a little bizarro here. You know, I was once called Attila the Tongue in radio. Did you know that? I swear to God. About 10 years ago, Radio Inc. had a headline, Attila the Tongue, about me, because that was my phrase. I loved it, Attila the Tongue. I created it. I thought it was a good moniker.
You're talking about Shields. I don't know if I'll get in trouble, but I tell my uncle he's 80 all the time. Shillery. I call it Shillery.
Shillery Clinton. I heard that one.
Yeah. I mean, because, yeah, I just live in Reno, so I know about gambling, you know, and
so,
I don't know.
So what are you doing in Colorado Springs? What do you do up there?
I live with my uncle, and I'm a quasi-caretaker. He's 80. I'm 51.
That's very, very nice to have family take care of you when you're older. Very nice.
He's my best friend.
Isn't that sweet?
I don't know if I'm the type who could ever have a caretaker if I get older. I don't know if I'm going to be. I don't know if I'm even going to get older.
Oh, you will. Somebody will step in.
But if I get older, why would I want a caretaker? If I reach that point, I don't think I'd want a caretaker at all.
I
would think I would do the Viking. You get the boat, you get the booze, you get C4 explosive, and you head out to sea, and you set it to go off 2,000 miles from California. I'm joking. No, I wouldn't do that.
David, you're so succinct.
You know, I was, okay, thanks for the call. Now I'm already moving into the maudlin and the idea of death. I knew this would happen, inevitably. That was the New Yorker interview of me. It says it doesn't take more than 3 minutes before he starts talking about death and dying. Because I was at dinner last night in an Indian restaurant. Indian restaurants always remind me of the cycle of life and death. I don't know why. The food is good, but there's such a sadness about the whole Hindu shtick, about the recycling and life, and it's always like you're dead. And, but the food is very good. So I was in the Indian restaurant with two friends. I invited an artist and his lady friend, and Teddy, of course. And we started to talk, and she designs dresses, and she said to me, we're talking about what's going to be done with their remains. Because I said a friend of mine said he's going to be cremated. I don't want to even think about it. So she said, well, you know that they can convert cremated remains now into by molecular reformation into a diamond. I said, what? He said, well, you're made of carbon and other minerals. And they can take what remains and with some molecular changes make you into a gemstone. And then your loved ones can hang you around their neck. I said, that sounds like New Guinea. Not like Brooklyn. I mean, what is this? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Hour number three. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I was dragging in some of the hour number threes this year. Now I'm flying because it's unprotected talk. It's true. I cannot believe this. They can convert your ashes now into a diamond? I'm on the website. Your own life gem diamonds can be created from the carbon and cremation ashes, a lock of hair, or both. Of course, not only do we turn ashes into diamonds and hair into diamonds, we also have a full line of cremation jewelry, rings, and this is like paganism. You know, in New Guinea, they used to shrink heads way before the missionaries got there. And then that was, and they would have the shrunken heads in their, you know, houses of the enemy. They'd shrink the house. It's like a shrunken head. I mean, I don't want to be a diamond on someone's neck. Secondly, how do you know if it's your ashes? You know there's got to be shysters in the business. If it says diamonds, you know there's shysters, that's all. How do you know it's your ashes that are going to be given to a loved one they can wear on your neck or turn you into a ring? And you could pick what gem you want to be. That's interesting. Colorless life gem, blue life gem, red life gem, yellow life. Oh, this is a green life gem. So all liberals become blue. This is crazy how they stole blue. I love how the libs stole blue and they gave red, which is a communist number, color to Republicans. That was from the get-go. Red states, blue states. Unbelievable to me. Well, there's no joke in this. They take your ashes and make you into a gemstone? I thought she was... Well, she's a nice person, but I always thought she was a wackadoodle. I had no idea. Synthetic diamonds created from the remains of humans? The company can extract enough purified carbon from a single cremated human. Remains of pets are priced the same as those made from... How much does this cost? I don't want to turn Snowy into a stone. I'm not going to do that. I already have the plot picked out. I mean, look, you have to. I have a little piece of land somewhere on a hill already. It's sad in its own way. What are you going to do? It's life. It's the way of all flesh. I have a piece of land somewhere on a hill. I'm not going to tell you where. There's a grove of redwood trees. So for some reason, last year I had three trees cut down. They were growing into each other. They're 20-year-old trees, 15. The branches were hitting. I cut three out. I didn't really know why I was doing it other than to keep the trees healthy. But as time went on, I realized I was creating a pet cemetery for where my little guys are going to be. And it's sad. So I go up there now, and I walk during a sunny day with light filtering through the trees with my dog. He don't know why I'm walking on this hallowed ground. I mean, what am I going to say to you? I'm not doing the garbage can like Tippy. Well, my dog Tippy died in Queens. My father called the sanitation department. It was on. You talk about an ending? And, like, guys came in, like, brown suits, garbage man suits. Grim face. They came in the house. The dog was already rigor mortis set in stiff. My mother was crying. She was like crying. She was a very emotional woman. You know, like it's a member of the family. The part shall bitter son down to the bone. The leg looked like a leg of lamb when he got through it with my foot. But nevertheless, when he died, he was dead, and it reminds everyone of their mortality. She was crying. I didn't know what to do. I was a kid, 11. He had a heart attack from the table scraps. In those days, they didn't have dog chow. It was like kennel ration. A kennel ration, remember? Out of a can. It stank. Ugh. It stank like a hamburger in an expensive restaurant, which they gussy up with spices. She ate the heavy food, died, heart attacks. They didn't know what to do. Call the sanitation department. Grim men come in like brown suits from the New York Sanitation Department. All right, knock, knock, come in. Grim-faced, like pallbearer, like your funeral. Lifted the dog up. He was stiff. Two in the front, two in the back. Two hands, two in front. And I watched the truck. They put the thing on. You know, they throw their stuff in. And one, two, and a three, and they threw the dog in. I said, oh, God, that is so undignified. So, now I'm not going to do that. I've got to have the hallowed ground. What are you going to do? You have to laugh at death. Because otherwise, she's going to laugh at you. It's horrible, isn't it? The idea of killing yourself, brushing your teeth, vitamins, exercising. And then, Robert, it's horrible. Then you die anyway. I mean, it's...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look how I got into this. You see, that's why I like to have artists as friends. Because the conversation takes unexpected turns. And on a Sunday night in a dark Indian restaurant, where there's already sadness in the air anyway. I mean, I don't know why I like Indian people, but there's always a tragedy around the feeling in an Indian restaurant. Like the carpet's dank, and there's always like something's wrong. They never look happy. I don't know what that is. They always have like a sadness, like a village just got knocked out by a hurricane or something. The sense. No, I like Indian people. They're very smart. They're very civilized people. I've always liked Indian people, but there's always a sense of tragedy around them. The food is amazing. I don't know how maybe they cook because of that reason. You figure if there's a cuisine that's been around for thousands of years, they're going to do it better than, you know, one of the restaurateurs that went to, like, the California Culinary Institute to learn how to make a hamburger and charge you $49. So, the guest, one of my guests, is a dressmaker, designer. And I don't know where. Because a friend said he was going to be cremated, came up. And she said, do you know that you can have your remains made into a diamond? I said, what? It's true now. I'm looking on the internet. Synthetic diamonds are touted as memorial diamonds, ranging price from $4,500 for 0.2 to 0.29 carat, 40 to 59 milligram stones, to $20,000 for stones weighing 0.90 to 99.99 carats. Listen to this one. The company can extract enough purified carbon from a single cremated human body to synthesize up to 50 gems weighing 1 carat, 200 milligrams each, or up to 100 diamonds of smaller size, while sending remaining ashes to the family. This is ghoulish. Diamonds made from the remains of pets are priced the same as those made from human remains. Ugh. The carbon from the remains is converted to graphite after purification, from which point it is placed in a diamond synthesis press. The diamonds are made via a thermal gradient method using alloys as a flux at pressures of 5 to 6 GPa and temperature of 1600 to 2000 degrees centigrade. The entire process from cremation to finished stone takes up to 6 months for yellow life gem diamonds and up to 9 months for blue life gem diamonds. Okay, that's enough already. Controversy. The corpse contact problem is a religious one, especially for Jews and some Christians, and matters concerning spiritual uncleanness issues in Numbers 9:6, 19:11-13, and Haggai 2-13, for example. Okay, well, so now celebrities are going to be dug up for their bones to turn into a diamond. The book of Haggai is a book of the Hebrew Bible, or Tanakh, and it's placed as the anti-penultimate of the minor prophets. It is a short book, blah, 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 500 BCE before the temple has been rebuilt, between the start of the Persian Empire, blah, blah, blah. The book of Haggai, and in that they say you can't make it into a diamond? No. They wouldn't even known about that process then. I guess in that book you aren't allowed to touch the corpse and mutilate it. Well, that's a very deep thing. That's why Jews don't permit the cremation. It's against the religion. You don't know. Many Jews today do get cremated, but it's against the religious laws. Religious Jews, you know how they're buried? Look, within a day, they have to be buried in a white linen in the ground, not even a box. Did you know that? I'm sorry to do it. It's the end of the year, and everything is a topic to me. It's all on Protected Talk. What do you want me to give you? Christmas talk? I don't know. We'll go on to something else. Whatever. Let's take some calls on any other. I don't know what topic they're calling. I'm liable to get stuck now on the diamonds. It's creepy, the whole thing. Line 4, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic? What's your city?
This is William from Montgomery, Alabama. And topic is Jerome, why smile when you whistle at him?
Wait, sir. The topic is what? The topic is what?
The topic is why your brother smile when you whistle at him, because he can hear and feel the frequencies, just like Helen Keller can feel the frequency. But
oh, I'm sorry. My deceased brother, when he was a little boy and I was told that he couldn't hear, why he was able to respond to me.
He can feel the frequencies like Helen Keller can feel the frequencies.
Oh, I knew he would. I knew that his nervous system was intact. The doctors were idiots in those days, and they told us he couldn't hear, he couldn't see, he couldn't say this. I knew there was a full human in there. Killed me. But the thing is today that with the technology of today, probably he would have had technological devices that would have permitted him to communicate, correct?
Yes, sir. He can feel the frequencies because it's higher than your voice.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. I can't even think of it, what he suffered. Oh, my God, that poor guy. My poor brother suffered. He suffered so badly because of the medical profession. They were like butchers from the Middle Ages. They made everyone crazy in those days. They were ignoramuses. In the 1940s, they didn't know anything. They were ignorant. They just were, I don't blame the doctors. The level of knowledge then was at a very primitive level in many ways. I'm not talking about advances in surgery and the advent of penicillin, which resulted as a result of World War II. In terms of human feelings, there was almost no knowledge in the 40s. That's what I mean. Now, are you yourself, where would you come up with a topic like that? That's out of the blue. How would you come up with that? He's gone. So he must be an individual who is himself suffering, who would remember the story I told about my brother years ago. Think about that one. Look, I got guys with screen calls. Would you have ever taken that call, Robert? Never. See, I'm getting calls that I would never take because the screener would say, it's too depressing. Don't take it, right? You would have, or the guy's not speaking clearly enough. Look at the greatness that we have here, unprotected talk. Okay, so everyone's fired in the studio. We're automating the radio show. No, I'm just. No, come on. We do need you there. We do need you for all the stuff like getting me a Diet Coke, even though you're in Dallas and I'm in San Francisco. All right, line 8, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Johnny. I'm calling from New York. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage.
Yes, Johnny, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm not calling to be funny. I'm calling about the crime that is being committed right here, right now in New York. And it involves our friend Al Sharpton, who has weaseled his way into the administration with de Blasio, along with their big pal in the White House.
And all right, look, de Blasio has a new name. I gave him the moniker today. It's called Bloodio, de Bloodio.
Okay.
All right, so he's now named Mayor de Bloodio. He has blood on his hands, in my opinion. Al Sharpton is an individual who should have been excommunicated from the leadership of this nation from the get-go. Instead, he was turned into, like, the master of the universe. Go figure why. Why would men like Holder and Obama insult the American people by associating with a man of this ilk?
See his birth.
But you see, I'm going to get angry, so I'm not doing it. Here's some news. I'm dropping a topic. Here's a topic. This just happened. Passengers and officials say Virgin Atlantic pilot made one of the greatest emergency landings in history after gears on Las Vegas-bound plane jam. Look at this one. A 747 had a technical issue with his landing gear, but landed at Gatwick Airport. The passengers were relieved and credited the crew for keeping them calm and landing the aircraft safely. That just happened. Has that just happened? Passengers from Virgin Atlantic 747s, pretty, I guess the older version. I don't know if it's a new one. It's today. It just came out minutes ago. Las Vegas-bound Virgin Atlantic flight makes emergency landing in England. How could it be Las Vegas-bound? Oh, it left Gatwick and went back? Holy God. Emergency stop. Heading to Las Vegas from England Monday, had to learn how to properly brace and preparation. Blah, blah. A Virgin Atlantic made the emergency stop after circling around England for 4 hours due to the technical issue. But it landed safely at Gatwick with fire trucks surrounding the runway as a precaution. There were minor injuries reported among... Okay, those are the ones looking for the ambulance chases already. Oh, my neck! Oh! There were minor injuries reported among the 447 passengers. Probably all of the injuries were from people from Brooklyn. They knew they saw a live one right away. But overall, they were relieved. Their flight did not end in disaster. Everyone gave the crew a big round of applause when we landed. Passenger Mike Kaufman told Sky News, "I can't wait to get into the terminal and have a gin and tonic now." Pictures taken of the plane appear to show a set of wheels did not fully descend. The airline said the plane undertook a non-standard landing procedure because of a technical issue with one of the landing gears. What doublespeak is that? A non-standard landing procedure. Don't you love that? It's called an emergency landing in plain English. But look at the crews, how good they are, huh? But what's with the other plane? What is the with the other plane? I mean, you know, where is that plane? The bottom of the ocean? Did it really go down? Was it hijacked? No one knows with the Malaysian Airlines what to make of this anymore. Three in a row is very spooky. Would you ever fly Malaysian Airlines? I wouldn't. That's it. I'm never going to. Kuala Lumpur is off my list. Let's see. Indiana man mauled to death by bull on Christmas Day. Nice. Ogama's golf game boots bride and groom from Hawaii wedding. Okay, this is more bad news. And now we're getting into the news. Argentina president adopts boy to stop werewolf curse. Maryland Episcopal bishop is alleged driver in a fatal hit and run. She's a woman, by the way. Take a look at her picture. Episcopal bishop, that means something today. Oh, Episcopal bishop. Yeah, women are more sensitive. A drunk driving job. Killed a guy on a bicycle and then fled the scene. But she's an Episcopal bishop, you know. She's on the order of Al Sharpton, in my estimation. Ex-Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell's daughter blames mom for troubles. They did nothing compared to what goes down in this country. See it. California surfer survives great white shark attack. Missing AirAsia flight 805, likely at bottom of sea. And that's that. That's the news. All right, let's see what that's the daily news for the news. We covered a lot of ground today so far, you know, when you think about it. Las Vegas bound plane, get ready to pay. Obamacare fines rising in 2015, IRS to collect. LAPD press conference on coroner's report of police shooting of unarmed man. Another one? There was another police shooting of an unarmed man, another doll. Well, let's see the unarmed man. Let's see if Al can bring the victim mobile to you. Maybe Al can fly the victim mobile into L.A. now. LAPD news conference on Ezel Ford investigation. Okay, I'm not even going to go into that. I'm sick of it. I back the cops. That's all there is to it. It's that simple. Because you take the cops away, then you have the wolves at your door. It's that simple. How's that? Use your common sense, idiot. So there's the occasional bad cop or a mistake. I'll still stick to the cops. How's that? Does that work for you? I want the wolves at my door. Let's see what else is in the news. You want to hear the news? No, there he is now in a checked shirt. Every time I see his picture, I get agitated. Here's Obama double speaking. Obama, we're ending combat mission in Afghanistan and we're celebrating, but troops will remain there to combat Al-Qaeda. I've never heard anything like that. How could that be? Obama says we're celebrating the end of combat in Afghanistan, but we're keeping troops there to combat Al-Qaeda. And Jake Tapper will salute that tonight. The president tonight announced the end of the longest war in American history. Hail the chief. All hail the chief. I'm Jake Tapper. But troops will remain there to combat Al-Qaeda. Mr. President, nice to speak with you in Hawaii. Are you enjoying yourself? Well, yes, I am, Jake. Thanks for being a shill, you moron. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth.
It's Monday on the Savage Nation. Well, I've had a very good time today. It's been almost 3 hours now. I have enough energy for another two-hour show for sure. Unfortunately for you and me, I have to leave right now. And with God's will and your listenership, I'll be back tomorrow. We have about 4 minutes left of broadcast time. I've been doing something new on the program, which is unprotected talk, a phrase I coined on Friday. And I think it's been working out great because I'm getting callers I never would get. Let's take one more, okay? Line three, you're on the Savage Nation. Name and city. Go ahead, please. A dud. Line five, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Chuck in San Francisco.
And you're listening on KSFO. What's on your mind, Chuck?
First, I'd like to thank you for your book. I mailed my copy off to my deserving sister, and you sent it one. I just got the replacement today. And I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going on in the police world, because that's where I came from.
Can you just make it as brief as possible? We have only 3 minutes. Make your point, please, and I'll move on from there.
Okay, fast as I can. The I had a detail that I had to protect Peter Grace, the Grace Report. He was on the...
All right, so what happened?
He was put on a Weather Underground kidnap and kill list by Bill Ayers.
Oh, the president's buddy.
On Bill Ayers.
So that's the president's buddy. That's nice. Yeah. And he's still walking the streets, Bill Ayers. That's probably still advising from the sidelines.
Well, to be blunt, what you're seeing going on right now, they dusted off their old playbook. We lived to...
Well, they don't have to kill. Do you understand they have such power? What do they have to kill for? Well, when you have a communist in the White House who has absolute power in his own mind, who before the Congress even convenes, he said he's going to nullify their actions through the pen, what does that tell you we have in the White House? A cooperative president, a president who cares about the people, a president who respects the ballot box, or the opposite? Thank you for the call. I know what we have. I know that we've had a communist revolution. You say, well, come on now. There's no re-education camps. Oh, no, go into your schools. Go into any corporate structure today and tell me there's no re-education camp in terms of diversity training. Read any newspaper and tell me that's not the equivalent of a communist revolution. Say, okay, I don't want to go down that road. I know what's going on. How in the world could we have come this far and have a guy like Jeb Bush running? I'll never understand. How in the world could this country have come this far with a corrupt, useless Republican establishment and see a guy like Jeb Bush is going to run for the presidency? You mean after two Bushes, we need a third Bush? I'd rather have a burning Bush than Jeb Bush running the country. In fact, if Jeb Bush wins, we'll need a burning Bush to save the country. Look what we're going to have a choice of. Another Clinton, that's after 8 years of Clinton, we have a choice of another Clinton, or another Bush. How could the country have become so mortally wounded that the people would even permit this to happen? After the revolution that occurred at the ballot box 6 weeks ago, when a brand new wind blew through the Republican Party, and so many of you went out and voted, that the same old ossified fools who have destroyed the Republican Party are now picking another candidate that you're not going to come out and vote for? Yes, because people have to understand one thing. Lord Acton said it, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And there is going to have to be a rebellion amongst the voters come January within the Republican side of the aisle, where we get rid of Boehner. We must get rid of McConnell and Boehner, and we must replace them with the young people who were elected, some of whom can save this nation from the creeping socialism that threatens to destroy all of us. And those are my last words tonight on the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening to my new show of Unprotected Talk. It went from 1 to 3 hours tonight, and there will be more tomorrow with God's will and your listenership right here on the Savage Nation. And be sure to read Stop the Coming Civil War Before It's Too Late.
Savage.